From MOCs to willow pumps, RVUs to blowouts. If you know exactly what I'm talking about, you're probably a physician mom, and this podcast is definitely for you. Welcome to Stethoscopes and Strollers. I'm Dr. Toya, an OBGYN and coach, and like you, I'm juggling life in scrubs with tantrums and timeouts. Here, we get each other on a level no one else can. Conversations will be real and 100% unfiltered, so you might choose to listen while you're alone, or at least put in your AirPods. It's time to feel understood, supported, and a little less alone. Let's get into it. Welcome to Stethoscopes and Strollers, the first episode. I am so excited you are here, and I wanted to start off with sharing my story with you, my postpartum story. It is why I started doing my work as a coach for physician moms in the early years of motherhood, and why I'm so passionate about helping moms during this time. And to be completely honest, the story that I have been telling is like the socially acceptable version. This is like the real version, right? So real that I had to talk to my husband to make sure that he was okay with it. And you will see why. And just so you know, there's a good friend that I had from medical school who I was talking to during this time, and I'll be referring to her quite a bit. So let's call her Dr. P, right? So, you know, my first postpartum journey was rough, but I thought it was just because it was COVID, right? We were alone. I was employed at that time. It was just different. So the second time around, which was last year of 2023, I was self-employed. I had full control of my schedule. My mom was going to be here for a couple months, and then my mother-in-law. I thought I would need less time off completely because a lot of my work that I was doing was from home. You know, I was doing speaking, content creation, and then still was going to do my locums work the 3-month mark like I did before. And, you know, I knew a lot of entrepreneurs who had continued working during their postpartum period, like immediately, like my wedding planner. She had her child and then continued planning my wedding, right? So I was like, okay, I got this. So after my daughter was born, that was early February, the delivery was pretty uncomplicated. But afterwards, I was in a lot of pain. The pregnancy was pretty painful. My daughter was huge. I actually had to stop working pretty early. And it only got worse after I had her. So there was my coccyx pain that really prevented me from laying down, from sitting, from standing for too long. Like I could not get comfortable. And of course, I was breastfeeding. And that was also painful. You know, the latch was fine. It was just an anatomy mismatch. Like her little mouth was just too small for my new anatomy, which my nipples got huge after my son. And then during the pregnancy got even bigger. So there was no amount of lactation consultants or anything that could make it less painful. She just needed to grow. So while I was waiting for her to grow, I had severe pain with breastfeeding. And she just needed more milk than my son ever did. I was able to feed him from one side from the very beginning until 22 months later when I stopped breastfeeding. But with her, I had to switch sides, which it was just, you know, in comparison, I didn't need to do it before. So it took me a while to figure that out. And while I was figuring it out, she was screaming because she was not getting enough. And I was trying to figure out what was going on. And also she spat up quite a bit. She had reflux. So it was, you know, screaming from being hungry until I figured out that she needed both sides. It was screaming because of the reflux. She did not like being on her tummy at all. So I had the added guilt of not doing tummy time because, you know, she would scream. So it was difficult for me physically in that respect. And then I just found that everyone was basically focusing on their own experience. So I was so happy to have the support of my mom. My husband was here, but that comes with its own issues, right? So I remember it was a few days postpartum when my mom saw me hobbling around because I was in pain. And she was like, why are you walking like that? And I was like, well, you know, I just had a baby. She's like, Well, I wasn't like that after I had you. I was up helping the midwives deliver other people's babies. And I just remember being like, you're so lucky. I love you, lady. Like, why would you tell me that? And so it was just not what I needed to hear at the time. And with my husband, he just, God bless him, he just did not get it. And it was very obvious that that was the case when also a few days after we came home, he goes, yeah, you know, I'm so tired. We just need to find an equitable way to divide these duties. And I think I wanted to stab him in his eyeballs at that point, you know? So it was just very clear that he didn't get it and was very focused on his own experience. I tried to tell them, you know, this is the way that things need to be done. For example, the way that you hold her. Like I mentioned before, she didn't like being on her tummy. That also included being on people's chest. You know, that's, people want to cuddle a newborn. So they would lay her on their chest and she would scream. And then they started complaining that she was crying too much. And I was like, well, you know, she doesn't like to be held that way. If you hold her up, so I used to hold her in the crook of my arm upright between her feedings because of the reflux and all of that. So she would spend most of the time just upright like that, but nobody wanted to listen. So she would cry and then they were like, well, something is wrong with her. Why is she crying? And then at that point, when she cried a lot, she started coughing. So then it was, oh, well, something's wrong with her. She's coughing. And I was just like, well, no, if you actually listen to what I'm telling you, you would know why this is happening and it would be able to stop. So there was a lot of frustration there. And I tried to tell my husband, you know, I really need your support during this time. I need you to listen to what I'm saying. And every time I tried to talk to him, he would get super defensive. And there was a little bit of background with our first baby. He felt like, you know, it was never enough what he was doing. I could never be satisfied. So those issues started rearing its head again. And just, he kind of started to check out a little bit. So he had time off from work and he decided to go to New Jersey where we had some rental properties to figure that out during the time. He was also hanging out with his friends. And, you know, he had a friend from the military that came into town, went out with him, leaving me alone with the children and children because it was flu season. So we kept my son home for like the first month so that he wouldn't expose my daughter. So it was two of them. And my son was 3 at the time, very needy, as you know, you could expect. No, wait, he was actually 2.5 at the time. So it was a lot. And I just felt like he could opt out of parenting. And I did not have that luxury. So I started to become very resentful. And I remember telling P, I just felt disregarded during this time. And nobody really cared that I was healing. And I felt like I understood where he was coming from in terms of the things that were triggering him. And I thought, well, you know, I have to be mindful of how I made requests. But at the same time, I really don't have the time or the energy to navigate your emotions. You know, I just had a baby. Just deal with it. So it was a very difficult time. And I don't know if I mentioned before, P was pregnant at the same time. So I remember telling her, get a night nurse, just pay somebody to do things exactly how you need them to be, because I don't want you to have to go through what I'm going through, right? So with all of this going on, I was also working. So I hadn't started doing clinical work yet. So with my advocacy work and my social media and also planning for our move to Houston and opening a practice, all of those things, I was sending emails. Like, I went back to check my emails 2 weeks postpartum. I was sending emails about EHR and all sorts of different things. I had a virtual conference that I attended on the 27th of February. My daughter was born on the 2nd. I had an in-person speaking engagement on March 11th. That was about 6 weeks postpartum. So while I was resentful, while I was angry and dealing with all of these things at home and my physical pain, I was acting outwardly like everything was fine. And it wasn't, you know, a big deal. So time went on, all of these things continued, and it was getting close to my birthday. I am a huge birthday person. My birthday is a big deal to me. And it was our plan to go on a family trip to Cabo. Never been to Cabo before. It was close enough, one flight to make it easy, and everybody was going. Seeing my husband's behavior, my mother became very angry. She didn't like what she was seeing and how he was acting with me and with the kids. So she actually told me that she didn't want to go anymore. So now I have to manage the relationship between the two of them. I'm feeling embarrassed that I even have to do this when I'm supposed to be recovering and all of that. I spoke to my husband again. He tried, but it was like a little too late and it was just not enough. He actually even tried to, you know, butter me up by buying some engraved AirPods, and it was a nice gesture, but I was just like, okay. So I had started to pull away socially. Like, my friends were inviting me to stuff. I was just like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. I, you know, started saying, well, I just need to get away a little bit. So I went and got my nails done alone for the first time, and that was great. But it wasn't enough. Like, I still just felt like I wasn't getting the support that I needed. So I talked to him again, and he got very angry and said that if you weren't here, then things would just keep moving. You know, implying that all these things that I want done a certain way weren't actually that important. And, you know, he's got it, right? And I just remember being like, you have no idea what I do to keep this house running. Like, you don't. So forget the actual feeding the child from my body part. There's also the management of my toddler, who by then had gone back to school, you know, they manage like everything that it takes to run a house. It seems seamless because I'm doing it all while I'm supposed to be healing. So I told my friend, I was like, I wish I could just walk away, but I would miss my babies. And I just remember feeling very guilty that I even felt that way. But I was just like, I can't deal with this anymore. If I'm non-essential in my house, then what am I doing here? And the guilt with my daughter was even worse because of the breastfeeding, right? That was like the main issue. Like, I wanted to stop because of how frequently I had to feed her and the pain, but I didn't want to stop because I actually loved breastfeeding. I did with my son. I loved breastfeeding her once, you know, I became numb to the pain, and it was a special time, and I knew this would be our last baby, so I did not want to just stop abruptly, but it was taking a toll. And then my son was crying a lot. He was, you know, not dealing well with the transition. So I just started thinking, you know, I really just don't want to be here anymore. And I was thinking about the trip to Cabo, and I was just like, I don't want any demands on my body. I just want to be around people that don't need anything from me. So I started thinking, well, you know, what if I went by myself? That would be depressing because it's my birthday. It's like, okay, what if I find a friend to go with me? But I don't really want to have to explain, you know, to anybody else what's going on. I tried thinking, well, let me get my sisters, but they had to work. And I was just like, do I have subclinical depression or am I just exhausted and angry? Like, I couldn't figure it out. Like, I knew I was not okay and I knew I needed a break, but I just really didn't know what to do about it. So as you remember, I was still working and I had a speaking engagement that was virtual, maybe like a week before we were meant to go on the trip. And I was just like, everything came to a head and I was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. So I emailed them and said, I'm sorry, I have to cancel. I will reschedule when I'm a little more healed from my postpartum journey. I sat my husband down and I was like, yeah, I've been thinking about it and I can't do this anymore. I'm going to go to Cabo alone. You all stay here. I just need some time. I need time to think. And I don't know what I was expecting him to say, but I definitely wasn't expecting him to say, well, if you go alone, this will be the end of us. And that's a wrap on today's episode. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you feel a little more seen and a lot less alone. If you love what you heard, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and drop us a 5-star review. They really make a big difference and it helps other physician moms find us too. And share this episode with your friends. It's all about spreading the support and keeping the conversation going. See you on the next episode of Stethoscopes and Strollers.